I'd like to ask if you would, if you'd turn with me in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 8. I really feel like where the Lord has wanted me to be with you folks is working through the book of Deuteronomy. And I get in there, and it's like I just find these themes, and the themes are, you can't say that I'm working verse by verse or chapter by chapter through Deuteronomy. I'm not. Because you get in and you find these themes, which it's like this morning, the message I'm going to share with you, I'm really just going to be looking at one verse. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, and wait a second. Yeah, there we go. Verse 5. Look at Deuteronomy 8, verse 5. This is the one I want us to focus in on. It says, "Know then in your hearts that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you." And I'd like to read it to you in the King James Version, because I kind of get a kick out of that one too. "Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that your word would guide, inform our lives. I know it seems like there's a lot of pressure these days, and it seems like our world and its values are trying to shape us and mold us in ways that it wants. But in the end, we don't want to be a reflection of society and our time's values. We want to be molded and shaped to be like Jesus. So Lord, help us to understand. Be our teacher. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, all week I've been living with this one. And the King James word, chasteneth. Wow. NIV used the word discipline. Discipline's easy. But, you know, in our world today, that isn't very popular. I know for a lot of people, if you ask them, you know, how do you respond to even hearing the word discipline or hearing the word punishment? And most people, when they hear the word discipline or they hear the word punishment or correction, they respond negatively. They're like, that's a bad thing. Discipline, bad thing. And in the scripture here, it obviously is not a bad thing. Kind of the idea is, you know, you could just imagine, let's stick with the father and son relationship. You could have a man, and there could be a lot of children around him. But the one that he loves, his child, he isn't going to interact with the whole crowd the way he interacts with his child, because he cares and loves that child. So he's not going to let him just go and do whatever. No, he wants that child to be successful. He wants that child to learn. He wants that child to be guided. And you're going to see it in the way that he interacts and he oversees and he disciplines that child. And because he does those things because he loves the child. Now, I couldn't help but think about my own dad. I was raised in a home where it was understood that the father's primary responsibility was to raise the sons, and the mother's primary responsibility is to raise the girls, daughters. And we only ended up with two kids in my family, my mom, me and my sister. And so I grew up spending tons and tons and tons of time with my father. And it's, you know, I started trying to make this list of all the things that my dad taught me. I started writing, well, he taught me how to shoot a gun. and he took me hunting. My dad taught me how to take care of pets. My father taught me how to drive. In fact, when I was, I did my first job running a bulldozer when I was 8 years old. He started teaching me when I was like six, but I actually worked on a job, and it was this field that we were clearing out and leveling out, and I had, that field was my responsibility on the dozer at 8 years old. But I was always expected to go with my dad. I still remember when I think about going to a high school reunion, I always know I'm going to see my old friend Eric Nelson. And Eric Nelson used to call me every single Saturday and say, "Hey, Doug, can you come over to my house today?" And growing up, I never had an option. Saturday is the day you work with Dad. Growing up, I never, ever had a Saturday of my own. And I didn't think anything of it because that was just what growing up meant. And, you know, I just had to go with my dad. And he took me along for everything that he did in life. And so I think my father owned a lot of apartments and small businesses in downtown Portland, Maine. And goodness gracious, I feel like I knew everybody, you know, because I was George's son. And I would sit there and listen to their conversations, of which I thought were so boring. And my father's truck was full of all kinds of junk, and I went through every bit of it. And I went exploring, and I had my own fun little adventures. But I did it with my dad, and that's how I was trained. And one thing that I think is dangerous today when I think about families raising kids is I think there's so much about technology that can be very, very dangerous when it comes to raising children, because like our cell phones and computers and tablets are so addictive. And I'll see fathers and sons where the father's head is buried into either the game he's playing or something that he's looking at or researching, and the child's head is buried in whatever he's doing, and that's what's going on. And I think that's dangerous for a thousand different reasons, but here's one of the reasons. Dad's computer, tablet, and phone all have protections on them, and nobody goes on and oversees anything he does. And for lots and lots and lots of the kids, they have passwords and protections, and the parents don't even know all the technology they're into, and no one's overseeing the stuff they're doing. And there's a breakdown there. You see, with me, the world was a little bit different. I still remember one time when I was in, by the time I hit high school, my father owned 50 apartments. But most of them were in a part of town that wasn't so great. And he used to collect rent every Monday night. So I'd go with him to collect rent. And I remember sitting in his truck, and my father's truck was filled with junk. You could never put your feet on the floor because there were saws and there was stuff and there was stuff. And it was always ridiculous because the visors, you know, the sun visors, that's where he used to store stuff. So there's stuff there. And I remember one time I was digging through the glove compartment, and I found a negligee catalog. Fredericks of Hollywood. I remember this very well. Twelve years old or whatever it was, I was like, well, needless to say, Dad comes out to the truck. I'm like, hey, what's this? My father's like, something got left in one of the apartments. and should have thrown it out. But it got tucked up in the visor for whatever reason. And so we got to have a conversation. Now, today there's passwords protecting everything, so kids aren't supposed to catch their parents. So parents can have some privacy. But, you know, I think the whole privacy thing can get in the way of what the parent-child relationship is supposed to be. You know? Used to be where families had one TV in the home and everybody sat around watching it. And I'll tell you what, kids, it used to be that the news came on at 11 o'clock, and at about 11:30 or 12, all the stations shut off. Do you remember that? They'd play the national anthem, and then it would just test screen. There's no getting up in the middle of the night and watching, you know, Jerry Springer corrupting yourself. But now, I'm involved with lots of families, and there's stuff in every room. And what my point in the whole thing is not to make anybody feel uncomfortable about whatever it is. I want us to kind of understand that there's privacy has its good and privacy has its bad, and the bad of privacy is within a marriage. There should be no privacy, I don't think. I think the wife needs to be knowing everything the husband's doing. I think the husband needs to be knowing everything the wife is doing. And I think in the relationship between parents and children that are growing up in the home, I don't think there should be any privacy there as well. Because I think there's conversations that need to take place. And there's teaching and there's stuff that should be prayed about. And I think that we need to watch that in our homes, and we need to protect that, because our parents have a God-assigned responsibility to prepare the children for life. So important. And let's kind of shift it back into what the scripture was talking about. The Lord looks at us as his children. And it points out in verse 5 here, it says, know this in your heart, that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord will discipline you. You know, we see that we are children of God. Therefore, we're going to be treated like children of God. That's a good thing. Turn with me, if you would, in the New Testament, the book of Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians is right after 1 and 2 Corinthians. Galatians chapter 3. Boy, it sounds like we just have a wet, old, yucky day outside, huh? Galatians chapter 3, beginning with verse 26. Hear this. You are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So, if we are in Christ, we're children of God. We're sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. And think about that. It doesn't say those of you who were baptized. It says baptized into Christ. So it's almost like you're walking through a door, entering into something. Baptized into Christ. And when we are baptized, we go down in that water and we are identifying with what Christ did on the cross. And we're saying that we believe We will follow. We want to be in Christ. It says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, we may have things that make us different. You know, nationality, that's significant. Talks about slave or free. We don't have slavery really in our world anymore, but when he wrote this, there was. And yes, there's differences, male or female, but he's saying that if we are in Christ, none of those things matter when it comes to Christ. We are all one, and we belong to the Lord. We are children of God. It says, if you belong to Christ, now here comes this wonderful, wonderful thing, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, I know some people get a little bit some people struggle with the whole issue of what does God think about the Jews who live in Israel now? And, you know, they think about the promises in the Old Testament. You know, do those apply to the Jews living in Israel now? And how does the church relate to that whole thing? And that's a big discussion. But just look at what he's saying here at the end of this little verse here. He says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You know, Abraham believed in God and it was counted to him as righteousness. And we believe. And we're in Christ. So as believers in Christ, we are, as the scripture says, united with him. As believers in Christ, we participate in him. It means Christ is doing things in this world, and as we walk by the Spirit, we are a part of what Christ is doing in this world. Believers in Christ are incorporated into him, and as he is God's son inherently, so in him we become sons and daughters by adoption, anticipating now by the Spirit what is to be fully manifested in the coming glory. So we are sons and daughters of the Lord through Christ. Amen. That's good news. And in my house growing up, my mom and dad didn't think they could have any children. My mom had had several miscarriages. In fact, my mom carried one baby all the way till full term, and just before it was born, it died. And so they just thought that there would be no hope in having children. And so they went and they did throw all the paperwork, and they adopted a son, me. And there was something about filling the paperwork out or something that stimulated my mother's body. And so as she's filling out the paperwork for me, she gets pregnant. And so I have a sister who's 5 months younger than I am. She looks like them. I don't look like anybody. But you know what? I saw the paperwork they had when they filled out when they had adopted me. And it's very clear. In every way possible, I am my mom and dad's son. When it comes to rights and responsibilities and the way the state regards me, in every way, I am theirs, just as if I was born into the family. And in Christ, we get adopted into the family. God is our Father. And let's kind of go back to where I started in Deuteronomy. We're not just kids that are hanging around the house. We are children. He's the Father. And therefore, the scripture says that he is going to discipline us because he loves us. Now, we know that discipline is not a bad word. Discipline's a good word. It means to guide and direct and correct. And the motivation on that thing is love. And if you would do a little study in the New Testament on the word discipline, you're going to find quite a few places that you could go to that teach us that now, as Christians, the Lord disciplines his people. We're taught in Hebrews that we're supposed to look at hardships that we face in life as discipline. We need to learn from those things. And the reason the Lord does it is because he cares for us. Now, in 2017, a lot of folks look at any type of discipline as a negative thing. And that's not good. I had a talk with our college group a couple of weeks ago, and I just asked the question. I said, thinking about our youth group, I said, we've toyed with the idea of banning cell phones with our youth group. And I asked the college age group, what would you think about that? Should we do it or shouldn't we do it, and why? Because if you don't watch it, you have a youth group, every kid brings their phone, every kid is just down like this, and so the speaker's up front talking, and everybody's down like this, and nobody's paying attention. It's an issue. But I don't know, Ed tells me you go on the construction site now, and the guy driving the forklift is on his phone, and the man who's up 30 feet in the air working on something is working on something and looking on his phone. And he says, it's kind of not just with school people, school kids. You see it in a lot of boys now. But one comment that I got back is they said there's, if you announce that if you come to youth group, you cannot have your cell phone, he said there'll be a lot of people that do not come. Because the idea that there's going to be a rule put on top of you, people look at rules as bad, and if you're gonna have a rule, they're not even gonna come to youth group. And I said, really? And they said, yep. Interesting thing to think about. And with a lot of folks today, the whole idea of discipline or having being under something that controls you seems like a negative thing. But that's a problem in our Christianity, because the type of relationship that the Lord has with us is a relationship where he's the Lord and we're his children, or he's the master and we're his servant. You know, it's not like we sit down at the table and, you know, God is just some friendly guy that we kind of have a relationship with. It doesn't work like that. He's God. And we are not a fellow God or goddess. It's not like that. Although I do know a couple of people that are heavy into yoga that are calling themselves goddesses. I got a young lady I know very well, and she refers to herself as the goddess whatever, and I'm thinking, not a goddess. Hate to break it to you like that. So let me kind of make a shift over for a second here on this. If you think about a relationship in a home with parents and their children, a parent is responsible to love their children, to value their children, to teach their children, to set an example for their children, and to oversee their children's lives. But the children have a responsibility too. The children are responsible to love their parents. The children are responsible, really, to have an open heart to their parents and what they're trying to teach them. And the children are responsible to have an obedient spirit. Now, an open heart, an obedient spirit, if you don't have that, you end up with a real disaster in the home. I mean, I'm sure every one of you have seen an example like that before, where you have a parent and child situation that's just a disaster, where you have a child that says, no matter what you say, I'm not going to do it. And that's just a disaster. I mean, kids, one of the greatest things that you can ever give your parents is have an open heart to them, to listen what they're saying to you, and to receive it. And because your parents love you. Same thing with our relationship with God. I see some folks that say, I don't want any rules put on me. I don't want anybody telling me what I'm going to do. And maybe if they don't say that outwardly like that, by their life, they demonstrate that that's really kind of where they're at. They're going to do their own thing. And it just doesn't work out. For the type of relationship we need to have with the Lord is one where we have an open spirit, where we say, Lord, I want to know what your will is, and I'm going to do what your will is. Now, that's a matter of the heart. And when we have a heart that says, Lord, I want to know what your will is, and if I can discover your will, I'm going to do your will. When you're living a life like that, that's a life where you really can honestly say that Jesus is Lord. Please forgive me, because I don't think I'm doing a very good job communicating this morning. I'm trying, but just bear with me. I think in the year 2017, the way lots and lots of people think today is they say, I don't want anybody or anything being my Lord. I'm going to do my own thing. But what we're taught in Scripture from lots of wise and godly people who have come down throughout the ages is the type of life that the Lord's calling us to is one where we willingly choose to make Him Lord. We choose to let Him be the boss. We try to make a lifestyle of trying to figure out what pleases the Lord, and then we just automatically have a disposition in our heart that that's what we're going to do. Because the other way of operating, where I'm not going to let anybody tell me what to do, in the long run, that's just disastrous. In the long run, that doesn't, think about every relationship in your life. If you have an attitude like that, you cannot have a successful marriage. You end up with a successful marriage when you have a man and a woman, and that man says, I want to know what the Lord's will is, and I'm going to do it. And you got a woman who says that. I'm telling you what, they're going to figure things out, and they're going to have a good marriage. You want a successful home. You have a group of people in that home. They're all different. But when they got one of these spirits that says, you know, we really want God to be the God of this home, so we actively want to kind of live a life of trying to figure out what God's will is, and we kind of want to have this group agreement that we're going to try to do what that is. Well, now you can say that home is a home where Jesus is Lord. You get where I'm coming from, folks? All right. So let's kind of go back to the beginning and wrap this thing up. Leaves us with something really big to think and pray about. It says, thou shalt consider in thy heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God will chasteneth thee. Jesus is Lord. In your heart of hearts, have you chosen to live your life saying, He's my boss. I want to figure out what He wants me to do. And I'm just going to write ahead, I'm going to say, if the Lord shows me what it is He wants, I'm going to do it. Please bow your heads and let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that for every one of us that would learn how to live like that, and that that would become a lifestyle for us. We know from the Bible that that really is how you want us to live. And I guess it just isn't too popular today. But hey, we want to be faithful Christians right now. So Heavenly Father, guide us, help us to remember, and help us to stick to the stuff. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.